Well, I see we've got mostly friendly people here tonight, so anyway, I never get over being nervous. This is a very special place to be standing, and a great responsibility. The pastor asked me to fill in, and I wouldn't turn down such a request if at all possible. But then I worry about it until there's time. I almost thought I did chapel last week. I almost thought I was going to do chapel here, because the message was basically for people of all ages. But I decided I'd save you from that, and maybe we would do something else. So I need to put my glasses on. And so let's go to the book of John and chapter 15. I just want to read a few verses and we'll get started. Something that's been on my mind for a while, and we'll read a few verses. Starting in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear the fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And I've read that verse so many times over and over. What I put at the top here, for without me, you can do nothing. And I was trying to see how I could apply that to my daily life. You know, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, the Lord tells the disciples that he's going to leave them. And he tells them that when he leaves, the Father will send the Holy Spirit to indwell them and to call to their remembrance all that the Lord had taught them. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so that particular verse talks about the abiding and the indwelling and the indwelling with the believer that came at Pentecost. The word abide and its various forms occurs 112 times in our Bible. The first occurrence of the word is in Genesis chapter 19. In verse 2, where two angels of the Lord were going to abide in the streets of Sodom overnight. And the idea there, of course, was that they felt they were going to settle down or just rest or sit down and take rest somewhere. And we know that the word abide was used there for the very first time. It's interesting, I mentioned to John 14, 16, and 17 about he's going to abide with you forever, for he dwelleth with you. The word dwelleth is the same word as the word abide, same Greek word, meno. The last occurrence of the word, abide, occurs in 2 John verse 9, where it appears twice. In 1 John, it appears 11 times. John used the word abide a lot. And it's in John 15, the first 8 verses give an example that we read of what I believe is the work that is expected from all born-again believers. It's not a salvation verse. It has to do with our service and our work. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So he's using the similitude of a vine, or we would use the similitude of a tree or something. And we know that things are fruit trees are often this grafting in from one branches of one kind to a tree, and sometimes they do multiple graftings, and the tree will produce different kinds of fruit. And so he uses that as the kind of way that we are engrafted into Christ through the indwelling Holy Spirit. He says here, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth fruit. So we see that, we understand that. I have a couple of crepe myrtles that I will purge significantly come January or February. They won't bloom unless you prune them back. And so I understand what that is. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he says, he taketh away. So how do you relate that to our personal lives as believers? I'm talking to believers tonight. This is a parable addressed to us. The Lord is talking about, I believe he's talking about service. We're expected. We are expected as believers to produce fruit. We're expected to do that. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for grace you are saved through faith, and that not, we understand those two verses, but usually we never get to verse 10. Verse 10 is the verse that says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had suggested that we walk in them. It doesn't say suggested, does it? It says ordained to do it. So as believers, as true believers, we have been assigned things to do for the Lord. And sometimes you'll see, you just wonder, some people haven't done anything for the Lord. But that's there. We're also told in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When Marge and I traveled from Colorado, I had that printed up on a big piece of cardboard, and I put it in the back window of my fifth wheel. And I had a lady who followed me all the way from Colorado Springs to St. Louis, and she memorized it. By the time she got started out, she had it memorized by the time she got to St. Louis. But, you know, you can do little things like that, and sometimes they pay off. And he says in verse 3, now ye clean through the word which I have spoken to you. This book will wash us and cleanse us. So when we read it, we get washed by it. It took a shower tonight for your benefit. And read God's scripture also. He says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. No abiding, no valued fruit. So how do we do that? How do we do that? He says, except ye abide. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. In verse 23 of Colossians 3, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, if that word all wasn't in there, we would have a lot of wiggle room, but it's there. And do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. And so the use of the word abide, the context is important because it is used in a couple of different ways. In the past, you don't hear it too much anymore, but people would say if they don't agree with somebody recommending something, I can't abide with that, which means they can't stand with it or embrace it. And so, but it's not used much, I don't hear it much anymore in conversations. And so it can mean to dwell, to remain, to tarry, to stand. He wants us to live lives that are constantly tied to him. Saved people are in view here. We're talking about saved people here. And we are not talking about salvation here. Let me get these in order, or we will enter the Tower of Babel quickly. We are not talking about salvation, but rather living the Christian life according to God's Word. The Christian life is not an easy life. It's not an easy life to tell somebody that when they trust Christ as their Savior, everything's going to just be wonderful. It is going to be wonderful, but not necessarily in this life. And so we can have lapses. Christian life is not an easy one, and so lapses can come. I mean, things, sorrows, accidents can happen. Diseases can happen, job losses can happen, all kinds of things can happen. Marriages can be broken up. And so then we can have lapses in our Christian life. When we stop reading our Bible, or stop praying, or stop assembling with like-minded believers, even for short periods of time, I believe our abiding with the Lord suffers. It suffers. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abided in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We're supposed to walk as the Lord walked. So we know how we walk from the Scriptures. And now we don't cast out devils, and we don't necessarily turn wine into water. That's a better way of doing it. And so, but we don't. We are an affluent society. Let me back up here. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. If we fail to stay close to him, we will not produce anything of worth to him. We may do all the things we did while in fellowship with him, but they may not count for anything if he's not in it. And that was something that was always, how do I know that the Lord is in what I'm doing? How do I know that he's abiding in me right now while I'm standing here? Will this count for anything at the judgment seat of Christ, or will it not? I've prayed about it, and I've agreed to do it, but you just, how do we know that? I believe, I talk about our affluence in this country, and I do enjoy it. I believe our affluence affects our abiding in the Lord. I've mentioned, I think, we have it so good, it's almost a curse at a time with regard to our relationship to the Lord. Before the Industrial Revolution, people lived much more simpler lives. They worked harder, they died younger, and they had few conveniences. For some, the only book they had in the house was the Bible. They had no TV, they had no phones, they had no computers, no iPads, no theme parks, no movies, no sporting events, no cars, no bikes, no travel trailers, no boats, and you could just keep going on. We have all those things, not necessarily all together, but all those things we have. And they take our time. They take away our time. These claim our time and our attention. How do we abide in Christ when our mind is engaged in all these secular kinds of things? Things that, which of themselves may not be sinful. It's not a sin to own a car, but they can take away our attention. I see some people. I'm not going to say about it. Anyway. Some people are more in love with their car than they are with just about anything else, and it shows in their daily life with the thing. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Again, he reminds them of our proper relation. He is the source of all truth, righteousness, and power. He says, he that abideth in me, and I in him, bringeth forth much fruit. When we are in fellowship with the Lord and doing what he wants us to do, much can be accomplished for him. And he tells us, for without me you can do nothing. I had a silly example, and since I've got some time, I'll fill in a little time with a silly example. You're at a baseball game, and a fly ball is hit high into the upper stands in left center field by the opposing team. There's a man in the stands who jumps up, raises his bare hand, and catches the ball. The crowd, home crowd, cries, "He's out!" But the umpire says, "Home run." The catch was spectacular. It would even make the highlight reels. But what was the difference? Why was it a home run and not out? Certainly not the man's performance. He made a spectacular catch, but it counted for nothing because of his standing. He wasn't a member of the team. He was not a member of the team. That's what made the difference. There have been many tens of thousands of people who have done wonderful humanitarian things in this world. But they will account for nothing because of they don't have a relationship with the Lord. They can't abide. They're not abiding in Him. I think Mother Teresa, when she was just before she was dying, and all that she had done over there, and she had given up a number of different things along the way that would have made her life much easier as a nun. I mean, she was there, and she was in a convent for a while, and she gave all of that up to go down and live in Calcutta with the poorest of the poor. And I believe it was said that they asked her about going to heaven, and the response was that she hoped she had done enough to get there. She had given her entire life, but without Christ, it counts for nothing. We see in we'll get there in just a second. There have been many tens of thousands of people who have done wonderful humanitarian things in this world, but they will count for nothing because of their standing in Him. But even when we're standing in Him as a child of God, we're expected to do works. He has given us things to do, and we need to get to them. They are not part of the, and so, but the ones that often do so much, that all these outlets at the various churches for clothing and for food, all of those things are really wonderful ministries to the poor of the population, the place to find food and shelter and clothing. But they're not going to make the cut without Christ part of it. Men will honor men. Men will honor men. And when we look at that, there have been some men that have given great things for their country. Early in the Revolution, the people that were involved in that, they gave up their fortunes, they gave their homes, they gave up their lands and everything. Some of them lost everything to gain the freedom that we now enjoy here in our country. And maybe very few of them knew Christ as their Savior at that point in time. Many of them were believers in God, but not necessarily born-again believers. They believed in Him, but they didn't trust in Him. There's a big difference. One of the scriptures that I have read over and over again, I call it one of the most tragic scriptures, is Matthew 7:21 and 23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What they had done, probably more than believing Christians, but it didn't count for anything. And the Lord is telling us this. We can't claim ignorance of this. We hear this over and over again, that we are expected to serve. And so he doesn't speak about quality and quantity or quantity. He doesn't give us targets, 10 souls this week, or it's just give, sacrificial giving and faithful service. Those are the two things the Lord requires of us. Faithful service. I believe we should be here every time the doors are open. And I think that's not written down here, but we have a revival coming up. It's a long week. I've never been to an 8-day revival, but I put it on my calendar. And so I don't schedule anything else in there. Doctor's appointments can be rescheduled, but these are evening things. And if you work a day, you're tired at the end of it, but you can get rejuvenated in here. So, and no extra charge for that. If a man, he doesn't speak of quality or quantity, but rather the lack of abiding in Christ. That's what he speaks about. We need to abide in him. And when I look at my schedule and the things that I do during the day, I wonder what things don't need to be there. And I'll just make, I have given up television. Television in my bedroom has not been plugged in for 2 years. It's not been turned on for over 6 months. I have more time. And frankly, I haven't missed a beat on what's going on. You know, there's other ways to find out. But I wound up with so much extra time. I was at a point I didn't know quite what to do with myself, and I was wondering what it was. It was the television that seemed to be on all the time, and as you'd walk by, and then it's 10 minutes there, and then 15 minutes there. And so those kinds of things. So I'm not saying everybody should do that, but I think we need to look at our lives and see if there are things that we are taking our time that we should be giving more to maybe study, Bible reading, and prayer. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is not people going to hell. This is talking, I believe, about the service that's being rendered. It's not going to pass the heat test. It's going to be burned up. It was done without the Lord getting the glory. Sometimes we do good things, but how does the Lord get the glory? Gets the glory, really, when we do things through the local church. And I've had to make a change on that recently, where I'm supporting some missionaries directly, and now I support them through the church. Weren't getting the glory when the check came from me. You get the glory when the check comes from the church. It's God's church. It's his family. It's his group. So that's something to think about. And so if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. So it's so important. We can be doing a lot of really good things as far as our neighbors are concerned and other people. And they may be, you know, thanking you or things like this, but the Lord needs to get the glory. We need to, you know, thank people in such a way or do things in such a way that the Lord gives the glory. So, let me see. I got so much extra time. That wasn't fair. But we're just about at the end here. So, he says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it should be done unto you. His words are those that are given in the Scripture. He tells us what he wants us to do. The Holy Spirit will come and indwell them, the early church, and bring everything he told them to remember. So I wish we could still do that, especially as you get older. Bringing things to remembrance gets to be a major issue. And so, under the guiding of the Holy Spirit, they would pen the New Testament. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The key of asking for things, he has told us in his word that we should possess. We ask for godly wisdom, and he'll always give us that. And that's always a good place to start, for godly wisdom, especially if you're in the process of making a decision about something, you know, maybe life-changing or financially changing. Get God's wisdom first to make sure it's the right move. 1 John, I'm just going to read a few things in 1 John, because that's John, he uses the word abiding, I think, 11 times. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Our abiding is demonstrated by our daily living." Our abiding is demonstrated by our daily living. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." We need to love one another here. It's talking about brotherly love, not biological brothers. We're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we need to understand we're among family here for believers. This is family. And there should be more than just likeness going with. There should be love flowing and watching out for one another. "He that loveth his brother," 1 John 2:10, "abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him." Verse 14, "I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him from the beginning. I have written unto him, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye are overcome the wicked." I think that's talking about the word of God. It lives in us if we've committed it to memory. Now, some of it have it in memory. We just can't get it to our brain in order to interpret it. But it's there. It's always there. And so he talks here in verse 17, 1 John 2:17, "The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And so that talks about living. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, then ye also shall continue in the Son." And so, here again, the abiding, the word remain in us. Can we commit it to memory? 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him." And verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in him." So John is really pressuring for our focus to be constantly in touch. I don't know another way with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have all of him that we're ever going to get, but he doesn't have all of us. And I believe that the more he has of us, the closer to the abiding. If we take a step towards him, he'll take a step towards us. If we take a step backwards, he'll take a step backwards. I believe that. And so the abiding is the closer we get to him, you know, the greater it'll be. And so in First John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Sometimes I feel at great risk of that, because coming to church is certainly something we need to do, but it's not the only thing. It's not the only thing. We want to stand before him in confidence, knowing that we've done something for his name, that he gets the glory. First John 3:6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Should be no secret, the closer we draw together to the closer to the Holy Spirit within us, the less we'll sin, the less thoughts we'll have that we wish we didn't have. And so, I'm going to finish here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, and I believe that's the last verse. It says, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You know, what a glorious, it's a mystery to me how God can indwell each and every one of us, but it's an absolute Bible truth. And so I just look at it as a glorious mystery of the indwelling and abiding of Christ through the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And the more we walk by, the more abiding we are in the Lord, I think the more we see the Bible reveals more of the future to us, and we can see things more clearly. All right, so 10 minutes to go, and we'll be out of here. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time this evening to just say a few words with regard to your word, and for your presence in our life. We're all at different places. No two of us are exactly at the same place in life. And with our abiding, we just pray, Lord, that we would just draw closer to you day by day, that we would look at the things that occupy our daily lives. And Lord, and maybe purge some of them out as really just distractions and unnecessary, but not just to create some void in our daily life, but that we might fill it with joy, with prayer, with song. Nothing wrong with praising the Lord in song around the home. You don't always have to save it for the church house. So, Lord, we just ask that you would do work in our hearts tonight. Be with the people in the back, the young people, as they go from this place. Pray for their safety as they travel, and bring them back on the Lord's Day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.